advantage. Now your show.
Thank you so kindly. But I do need to clear something up. I totally gave you the wrong information about Angelo's background. Actually, it's even better than I had said. Angelo was sitting across the table at me looking cross-eyed and saying, where the heck did he get that from? It's like, me, I did it. I screwed up. I gave him the wrong information. So we'll straighten this out. Angelo, howdy.
Hi, how are you?
All right, Angelo, first of all, let's clear it up. You were what at Litton Institute?
I was a director of product support. I was known there as a productivity expert.
So you literally flew around the world to how many divisions were there?
We had approximately 100 different companies.
So you were a Fortune 500 company with all of the subsidiary companies, and you flew around and helped each of those companies become highly efficient?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what I would like to do, and I haven't sprung this on your wife yet, but she may or may not want to play along. I'm not sure she'd even be capable of it, so we'll see. But I didn't know you until we started the study with the Heart Center. And Dan Austin was telling me about this big strapping bull of a man that got pretty beat up, and I'll kind of set the stage that way, and that you had some great results on the product. And then a month ago, I got to meet you. So if you would be so kind, obviously we couldn't take the time to tell the whole story, but let's try to get some of the high points. So long story short, what happened?
Well, long story short is on December 20th of 2008, I had a little bit of a problem. I had renal failure, congestive heart failure, and a pacemaker failure simultaneously. Arlene, my wife, called the paramedics who came and rushed me to the emergency hospital. There, I don't remember anything after that until I woke up in the intensive care. But prior to that, apparently there was a lot of discussion regarding my not being able to make it. There was a very terrible discussion regarding my blood thinner. I had been on a blood thinner for atrial fibrillation, and they were concerned about doing a surgery at that point.
Now, because you were on the blood thinner, if they had tried to do the surgery, you could have literally bled to death.
That's correct.
So doing a surgery at that time was pretty dangerous.
That's what they had told Arlene. I didn't know it.
You were out. Okay.
But what happened is they did do the surgery, and I did wake up in the intensive care unit, and from that point forward, I'll try to shorten it for you. I did go home after, I think, about 3 days. And for the next 5 or 6 weeks, I probably spent 2 to 3 days in the hospital, in the emergency room, etc., because nothing seemed to be working.
Let me get this straight. You go home, and how long would it be before you'd be back at the ER and then get admitted again?
Probably 4 to 5 days.
And this just kept happening and kept happening and kept happening.
It kept happening and kept happening and kept happening. You're absolutely right.
And during this process, besides it just demoralizing, what was your strength feeling?
My strength was deteriorating to the point where I'm about 6'2" and I weigh about 250 pounds. I'm not a small man. I was not a weak man. I couldn't do much of anything. My wife was, in fact, I got a bottle of water in front of me. I couldn't even open a bottle of water by myself. I just had no strength. I couldn't hardly walk different places. It was just terrible. That's all I can say.
I'm going to ask Marlene to come stand by. She's in tears right now. And Marlene, forgive me. Arlene, forgive me. Bottom line is, we had a very real thing happen to very real people. This isn't somebody off in the distance. I'm looking across the table at two people all welled up. So if they are a little halting in their speech, let's cut them a little slack, okay? Now, Arlene, when this was happening, Angelo's mood started changing.
Yes.
Yeah, talk a little louder.
Yes, it did.
Okay. And he actually sat down and wrote a piece of paper.
Well, I didn't write. I had most of my affairs in order prior to that time, but I didn't write a piece of paper until subsequent to that when I had reached a point, because of my deteriorating condition and inability to perform most anything, that I was in the hospital at the last time I was there and decided I had enough.
And now let's get into that. You're in the hospital and you've been in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out, and you're poked with holes and you got tubes running out of everything. And you tell the nurses what?
I told the nurses that I wanted all of the IVs removed. I wanted to go home. I knew that I was dying as far as I was concerned. In addition, I had another problem in that because I was in the hospital so much, I didn't know the extent of the medical expenses, and I could see that a lot of what we had saved over the years, I was going to be expending towards care that I didn't think was going to be any benefit to me. So I just decided I no longer wanted to be a part of this world. I did not want to commit suicide. I just wanted to go home and die. And I asked that they remove all the IVs. They said they couldn't do it. I might die. I said, give me any paper you need. I'll release you of liability. I'm going home. And that's what we did.
Arlene, what was going on with you at that time?
Well, I did not like him leaving the hospital at that time, but he felt he was becoming a burden to me, and then that's...
It's okay.
What I'll try to answer is that, yes, I felt I was a burden to her. I didn't want to be a burden to her, and consequently, I just decided enough was enough. So, as a result, she did what she could. She was trying to motivate me to the maximum extent she could.
Now, this will sound sick, but I think this is actually kind of funny.
Well, what she came up with is she knew that I'd try to do as much as I could for her while I was still able to. So she says to me, Angelo, okay, I understand how you feel, but there's a couple of things I want you to do for me, please. And I said, well, what are they? And she says, the first thing that you've got to do is you got to do the taxes. I've never done these taxes. You got to do the taxes. She says, I just don't believe I could do them. And I says, okay, what's the second thing? She says, the second thing is that I know where you want to be buried, but she says, I don't know what kind of a funeral service you have. You haven't given any instructions as to the songs or what type or whatever have you. She says, I want you to write that down for me.
Now, are you at home at this time?
I'm at home at this time, yes. Yeah. And so I says, I would do that for her. So I came home, that was a Sunday. Coincidentally, on a Monday, I had an appointment with Dan Austin at the congestive heart failure clinic. And Arlene wanted me to make that appointment to continue on, so I did. I don't know why I did, because I didn't really want to do much of anything, but I did go. And while I was there at the clinic, Dan suggested to me that I become a part of a study that they were performing. I think the study had probably started about a week before that, and he wanted me to be a part of this study. He felt that...
So you were actually admitted in the second week flight. There were four flights. You were introduced... There were three flights. Dan Austin's correcting me. So you were in the second flight,
I think I was in the third
flight.
He was in
the third flight. Okay.
Yeah, in the second week, I believe, yes. So Dan told me that there was a product that they were going to be testing that should help with the cardiovascular system. And I just kind of poo-pooed it, if you will, because I figured there was a lot of... He told me it's a dietary supplement. Well, I just figured there's a lot of dietary supplements on the market, and I just didn't think I wanted to be part of taking something else. However, what he also told me was that there was going to be extensive testing done, EKGs and echocardiograms and ultrasounds and blood tests and many, many more.
So you're going to be very closely medically managed.
That's correct.
And who was going to pay for that?
That was going to be paid for by the clinic.
The Dr. Seba?
Dr. Seba was going to pay for that.
You didn't pay for it?
I did not pay for it.
Okay.
Yeah. And my main interest was I wanted to have access to be able to see what my blood tests were doing, what was happening. I just kind of wanted, I was more interested in just thinking, how much longer do I really have? I was kind of trying to figure that out. So I did want to do it because I wanted to see the test.
Now, you know, we're going to do this a little bit out of sequence for those that got the email with the agenda. Dan Austin, would you move up just a little bit, please? Dan was the one that was overseeing the management of the patients underneath Dr. Siva's care. And you did full blood panels.
Yes.
Full urine panels.
Yes.
And when we say full blood panels that are full panels and then some.
Yes.
You did echocardiography.
That's correct.
You did two forms of pulse wave analysis.
That's correct.
What else did you guys do?
Well, an extensive lab we did, okay, we looked at C-reactive proteins, we looked at vitamin D3 levels, okay, we look at fasting lipid liver, okay, panels also too, along with complete electrolytes. We did ankle brachial index testing. Okay.
That was ultrasound Doppler.
That's correct. That's correct. And if I could go back just a bit, Dan, to explain something about Angelo, because when Angelo came into the clinic for the first time and met me for the first time, he had been through these revolving doors of the emergency room, okay, before he'd come to the clinic.
So he'd already been under very close medical management.
Well, the patients who were inserted into the study are very sick patients, and as Dr. Steven will tell you, these are the sickest of the sick, but these are my patients that I've known for a long time, that we have sort of reached medical management, maximum medical management. We've done cardiac resynchronization therapy already, and we sort of hit the wall. And so the frustrations and challenges of hitting the wall there is where do we go next? And so when the opportunity for this study came along, we jumped on it. And it was something that was very exciting to start out with. It was something that, as we moved along through the study, we started seeing patients do.
Now let's get back to Angelo on that then. Now, Angelo, during this process before he got into the study, you were observing what was occurring to him. Is that true?
Yes, and along with another aspect, because besides what Angelo didn't mention was Angelo, while he was in the hospital, previous to hospitalization, Dr. Siva had done an angiogram on him. He'd done a heart cath, a right-sided heart cath, to people in the medical community who were listening, but found out that...
And that's the side that feeds the lungs.
That's the side that feeds the lungs, correct.
Okay,
and so it was found that Angelo's pulmonary arterial pressures were very high. So besides his congestive heart failure that on a left-sided component, he was also having right-sided failure component also as well. So
that's deadly.
If untreated, it is. There's no cure for pulmonary arterial hypertension.
No cure?
No cure. Well, excuse me. Lung transplant.
Oh, okay. Right. Now, you're watching Angio continue to deteriorate.
Yes. Well, but he was new to me in the clinic. So it was an exciting time. We were just enrolling our first patients into the study. And as you remember, we had a threefold enrollment.
Right.
Okay. And so when Angelo came on board, it was just at a point where Dr. Siva was putting him on a medication for pulmonary arterial hypertension, one of the newer medications.
So he was Siva's patient, and he had referred him over to the congestive heart failure unit to you to enter into the study.
Correct.
So that's how that happened?
Pretty much so.
He
entered in the clinic so we could keep a closer eye on him, okay, because of his multiple readmissions to the hospital. We can keep a tighter control, and then the opportunity for the study came along. It was felt that he would be a great candidate for it.
So, Angela, you went over and you met Dan, and he talked to you about the study, and he told you would get this super care, and it wouldn't cost you or deplete the monies that accumulating to try to take care of your wife and yourself in your golden years.
Yes, sir.
So, did you really have much faith it would change anything?
At the onsite, I did not. I didn't think anything was going to change anything. I didn't believe it. I just thought I really wanted to see what was really going on inside of me.
Okay, so, in your own words, Angelo, what happened once you got onto the program? Because I remember one little thing that you'd mentioned to me at a 30th day point, went to Austin and made a comment?
Well, what had happened is I was never going beyond 4 days or 5 days maximum without going into the hospital, the emergency room, and the hospital, okay? And so when I reached 30 days, Dan and I had a celebration because it had been a month since I had been in the hospital.
And to you, that was a big deal.
It was a bigger than big deal, yes. Yes, it was. Yeah.
And it's been how long since you've been in the hospital now?
6 months.
Have you been admitted to an ER in 6 months?
No.
Have you had an attack in 6 months?
No.
All right. Now, maybe we can get... No, I'm not going to ask her to talk again. She's over there with her Queen X. We'll leave you alone. We'll leave you alone. You were joking with me before that you couldn't walk and keep up with Arlene.
Right, I could not. I had lost just about all of my strength. Whereas after the 90 days, actually before the 90 days, but let's say after the 90 days, I had almost all my strength back. In fact, my wife tells me that she hadn't seen me with so much energy in a long time. And I just think that she's getting old because she obviously forgot our honeymoon. You know? But I believe, to the best of my knowledge, that I did have more energy then. But I really feel absolutely perfect. I feel like I am 40 years old.
Now, do you give Dan Austin and us permission to discuss some of the individual parameters of your actual numbers?
I certainly do.
Okay, now these are just one individual, preliminary numbers. And all I want to do is just say, Dan, you were managing it. You were managing the pharmacological agents he was getting. He was on a cholesterol-lowering drug, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Was he on a blood thinner?
Yes.
Okay. Was he on a diabetic medication of any kind?
Yes.
Were you managing those very tightly to get the best results as far as control of those values?
Yes, that had already been really in place at that point in time.
Did you call that process titration?
Yes.
And what is the definition of titration?
Titration is where we make adjustments in medications, okay, up or down, up titrate, down titrate, okay, to try to reach certain goals, okay, in our laboratory data.
So prior to you putting Angelo into the study and Angelo agreeing to take the product, how well titrated were his medications?
He was pretty tight.
Okay, so you guys were paying really close attention.
Oh, yes, on the baseline, on all the baseline lab work we had, plus information we'd had before there. We were pretty much getting to the max of where we were on Angelo for medical management.
So this wasn't someone out of control just off the street that nobody was taking care of?
No.
Okay. Now, you started watching his blood levels change. You started watching his energy change. His zeal for life change. Just your personal opinion. He would be sitting beside you right now if you hadn't put him in a study. Your opinion.
That's a tough call, Dan, because I've been doing this type of work in critical care, okay, for well over 20 years, and we see to the audience out there in the medical community, you see what congestive heart failure does. Again, I told you there is no cure for pulmonary arterial hypertension, but what I have seen, it was a dramatic, okay, in reversal in Angelo's symptoms. Okay, and that if you look at medically and you combine that with the mental and spirit, okay, of where he lay with the body.
You actually, I was just great news. You know, the 90 days in the study, that were gone,
right,
at a reduced dose.
That's correct.
So, Angelo's now on a maintenance dose, and I don't even know what the value was you were talking about. What was it you guys were talking about today?
We were talking to being
called E. And we whether a patient is in acute decompensation. Okay, if you just say it. His BNP levels before even starting the study were well above 500. Okay.
And what is normal acceptable?
To see less than 100.
So he was way out of range.
0 to 100 is basically considered to be no acute exacerbation of congestive heart failure. And today I was able to give him the best BNP level that he's ever had. Okay. Period. And that was neat.
Complete normal range.
Yes.
And this is a patient that literally could have died.
Correct.
Two little final words.
Well, you asked Dan the question, would I be here if I not had it? Substantial amount of effort. If not for this product, in my mind, I do not believe I would be here talking with you today.
I've had the privilege of hanging out with you for a couple of days. Guys, this is one wild, crazy zealot. He has got more energy. People don't ever put anybody in front of him and say, this stuff doesn't work. He's the wrong guy to tell. Now, Angela, I want to say thank you, and we're going to get to hear more from you in the future.